Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, days and gays. This is The Real Pineapple. This is your humble host, Hunter, here. Happy Thursday, y'all. We're almost to the weekend. Thank fuck. thank God we are almost at the weekend. Hang on, me. That's a little better. Hang on. I gotta do this real quick. It's gonna bother me. Yeah, that's a little better. All right. Evening, everybody. Again, happy Thursday to y'all. This is your humble host, Hunter, here. I hope you're all having a great night, day, weekend, whenever you're checking this out. Hope you're staying safe. Hope that you're blessed. Hope you're navigating your world all right. Okay. So, man, I don't know where I want to start with this. So I watched the Quiet on Set documentary, The Dark Side Behind Kids TV. And I'm going to be real, I wasn't going to review this, and this isn't going to be a proper review because I don't think you can, like, rate something like this. I watched an episode of the Jared from Subway documentary that's on HBO Max, and I'll be real, y'all, I watched an episode and was like, I can't watch more of this. Like, I actually had nightmares about it, and but I told myself, you know, people were talking about this. I believe in being informed, even when it's unpleasant. And, okay, I'll give you an example. I think something like, God, when did it come out? I'm blanking on a film date. That's how tired I am. I think it was 2018, 2020, goddamn. Promising Young Woman, when that came out. I remember, it's in my review, you can go back and listen to it. You know, I said that it should be required viewing for basically anyone who's a high schooler and up. Because I think as you start to date, you know, and figure out where you lie on the, you know, in terms of your sexuality and your relationships and all that, I think a film like that is very informing, especially for men, as far as how to treat people when you get into relationships, or how to not treat people in the case of that film. And watching this documentary, so I have some notes here, and I apologize for rambling, but I'm going to be real. I don't really know where to start with this, so I'm just going to kind of jump in. So I have a long history of Nickelodeon, as I'm sure a lot of you do. You know, I to date myself a bit, I remember the first thing I looked up when we got, when my parents got us AOL, you know, the dial tone, and, you know, that shit. I remember the first thing I went on was Nick.com. True story. I was a huge fan of that, that show, the Mystery Files of Shelby Woo, if you remember that show. I think that was like, I think that would have been like 99, 2000, maybe. Secret World of Alex Mack, The Tomorrow People, Animorphs. You know, I could go on and on. Like, there's so many Nick shows that I watched growing up that had such an influence on me. And one of the biggest ones was All That. Because, you know, that was SNL for kids. You know, the documentary says that, and that's exactly how I'm sure it was pitched. And, you know, that's how it came across. And, of course, you know, we get Kenan and Kel out of that. You know, Kenan Thompson's gone on to have an incredible career. You know, the longest tenured person, you know, on SNL. Kenan Thompson's had a hell of a career. It started back then. You know, I'll admit, I remember, you know, being 8, 9, I was like, you know, feeling like a chunky fat, chunky fat black kid, and going, wow, Kenan Thompson made it. Like, and he's funny. Like, maybe I could, you know, maybe I could somehow do comedy or whatever, you know? And so I have a lot of ties to Nickelodeon as far as, you know, my early development. With that said, and I was talking to my partner about this, and I don't talk about my partner a lot just because, you know, it's not her podcast, you know, and there are as obnoxious and as loudmouth as I am, there are certain things I actually do like to keep private, but I'm really grateful for my partner, Alea. I'm really grateful for her. And one of the reasons why is because we're able to talk about anything. And even if we don't agree, even if we debate, I always feel like she hears me, and I always feel like I hear her, and I'm very grateful for that. And I think that the discourse around this, I think is one of those cases where we have to be careful in the sense of, yes, Dan Schneider, just off of this one thing, I went, oh wow, you're fucking wrong for that. But at the same time, I'm seeing people go, Harvey Weinstein. And the thing is, y'all, like, yes, is Dan Schneider a creep? Absolutely. Is he a monster? Absolutely. But we have to keep in mind what Harvey Weinstein did. Harvey Weinstein raped women for decades, unchecked. Like, Dan Schneider wasn't raping these kids. So, yes, is what Dan Schneider did, like, there are levels to this. And I think that's something that people, I think we need to be very aware of that. And I think we need to be very careful of that. Because I remember when Aziz Ansari, you know, there was that bad date that he went on and that woman accused him. And that was the first thing people went to. It's like Harvey Weinstein. It's like not everyone is a Harvey Weinstein. So I think we need to be careful just kind of throwing that around, like, you know, like it's not a big deal, because it is. With that said, after watching all four episodes, and I watched all four episodes Monday evening, which was not a great idea because my sleep was shit Monday night. But I think what, if anything, after watching the documentary, the big thing I thought was, wow, the amount of people whose lives were irreparably damaged because of Dan Schneider and the people that were around him is insane. And I think Nickelodeon, Viacom. So, okay. If you guys remember, years ago, when Chris Benoit and Eddie Guerrero died, they died like pretty in pretty close proximity from each other. Like, I think it was like 18, like within like a year, I want to say. But once that happened, you know, they had wrestlers on, you know, like Larry King Live and CNN and all this shit. And the public discourse really held WWE in particular to the fire and was like, shit needs to change. You can't be hitting people in the head with fucking chairs and not think that CTE is not going to be a thing. You know, Chris Nowitzki, he's been huge. Like the NFL especially hates Christopher Nowitzki because the research he's done on concussions and CTE has been groundbreaking. But there was accountability from multiple people, again, Nowitzki in particular, that went ahead and held the NFL and, you know, WWE to the fire. And so, you know, the NFL continued to, you know, find ways to modify the helmets. And shout out to Afternoon Tune. Yeah, I was a Nick kid. But you know, the NFL has continued to find different helmets to go ahead and use to, you know, limit the trauma. And WWE has stopped chair shots to the head, and they've done, you know, they've got a wellness policy. Admittedly, how well that wellness policy works is a whole other issue, but there were changes put in place because of these tragedies that occurred. With that said, there needs to be like sweeping changes at this point. Like, it's no longer a discussion. If it's me, I would have like an independent I would have someone independently on the set who's not hired, you know, not from Viacom or someone tied to the company, but I would have an independent person in on set, especially if you have a kid who's a co-star or is like, I would have someone like that on set to go ahead and make sure everything is on the up and up. You probably want to have a couple people like that, honestly. I don't think one person can handle a whole set. Two or three people, probably, yeah. That would be the first thing I would do. Secondly, I don't know who is still at Viacom / Paramount who knew about all this shit, but one of the things that the documentary really hammers home is that Dan Schneider was their golden boy. You know, he made all that. He got... I believe he worked on, you know, he worked on Keenan and Kel. He ended up doing iCarly and Victorious and Zoe 101 and like all these shows that spun millions for fucking Nickelodeon. And I think people forget that, you know, until Hannah Montana, Nickelodeon was owning kids TV for decades, you know, whether it's Salute Your Shorts, whether it's like, you know, Guts, whether it's stuff like Clarissa Explains It All. You know, I mentioned The Secret World of Alex Mack. I mean, Nickelodeon had all these programs that were so really at the time revolutionary. And if you go back, I mean, a lot of them still hold up. I think I rewatched rewatched some Hey Arnold not 2 months ago. And I was like, God damn, Hey Arnold still holds up. Like, it's crazy, you know, how many of these shows there were and how many there were that were successful and how many that there were that were successful because of Dan Schneider. I mean, say what you will about the guy. Like, again, is he a monster? Absolutely. But unfortunately, a lot of monsters tend to be successful. That kind of tends to be how the world works, unfortunately. With that said, even in episode one, and I was sitting there watching episode one going, God damn, y'all are just getting started. And I'm already getting this feeling of dread. They talked to these two women, Jenny and Christy, who ended up filing a gender discrimination lawsuit against Dan Schneider because they worked on the Amanda Show, which of course starred Amanda Bynes. What's wild about the Amanda Show, and I've watched a good amount of the Amanda Show just because, you know, older brother, you watch what your siblings are watching. So I always thought as a, even as a teenager, that the stalker that Amanda Bynes played, because, you know, of course she plays Amanda on the show, but I always thought the stalker she played was called Penelope Tate. I always heard Tate, T-A-T-E. But then watching this documentary, I found out, and this blew my fucking mind, that Dan Schneider called her Penelope Taint, T-A-I-N, Taint, as in like that taint. And I'm sitting there going, how the fuck did no one catch that, Nickelodeon? Like, that right there for me is where the logic started to just unravel. Because Dan Schneider, and I'll get to this in a second, but he did this whole interview where he kind of responded to, you know, the whole documentary. And the fact that, I don't know how you justify that. I do not know how you justify it. Actually, what am I talking about? You can't justify that shit. And hearing that, again, that's episode one. I was like, holy shit, but Schneider talked about how there was this big, you know, that, coast to coast, he had there are two different offices, like one in I think New York and one in California for Nickelodeon, that I guess read through all of his scripts and gave him the okay and all that. If no one, I would love to know how many people read those scripts, because if you're telling me no one knew what taint meant, fuck off. I don't believe that shit. There's no goddamn way no one knew. And that in particular was just a giant red flag just right out the gate. So this actually they put this at the end of every episode of this. In response to producers' questions, Nickelodeon has stated it investigates all formal complaints as part of our commitment to fostering a safe and professional workspace. We've adopted numerous safeguards over the years to help ensure we are living up to our own high standards and the expectations of our audience. So I'm going to take a drink here because I've been talking for a minute, but So I would love to know, and I think if I'm a reporter, heaven forbid anyone from Nickelodeon actually agrees to let me interview them, but I would ask, what sort of safeguards? Because that is such a, that's such a PR statement. That's such a very bland, generic statement. What have you done that's going to protect these kids moving forward? What have you done that's going to protect the adults moving forward? Fuck. I think it might be the line of the series. It's one of them for sure. I believe it's Jenny who says it. Or no, I think it's Christy. But she says, how safe can any kid be if the adult, if this is how the adults are treated in this environment? And that right there, that's the nail on the head right there. How the fuck can you protect kids when you can't even protect the adults? And watching this, you can tell that Dan Schneider really ruled with an iron fist, and you know, absolute power corrupts absolutely. And it felt like the more hits this guy had, the more Nickelodeon was willing to turn the other way. They talked about how I'd forgot about this, that Amanda Bynes show that was on Warner Brothers at WB at the time, What I Like About You, which I watched some of and I actually enjoyed. She was 16 at the time. But Dan Schneider, he co-created that fucking show, which I completely forgot about until they showed the opening. I was like, oh, that's right, he was a co-creator on this. And so it was co-created by him and Will Calhoun, who co-created Friends, which, you know, But what's crazy is that Warner Brothers, and again, Warner Brothers of all people, went, yeah, dude, we don't want you on set anymore. You need to get the fuck out. So they push him out of his own show that he co-created. If Warner Brothers is doing that shit, and again, I know Nickelodeon's like, this guy's make us money, why would we rock the boat? But goddamn, if Warner Brothers is pushing him out, and this is a teen show where you would presumably have more rope, wouldn't you think you would go, we might want to go ahead and figure out if we want him working with kids? The fact that there was no follow-up on that, I think, is fucking maddening. And episode two goes into Amanda Bynes wanting to get emancipated from her parents. That tends to be a really big trend with a lot of these kids, because it's the old divide and conquer strategy. You know, if you take away this kid's foundation, which more often than not is the parents, if they're good ones at least, if you go ahead and you take away the foundation, what's the kid gonna do? You know, I might have mentioned this. This might be the first time I'm mentioning it, and I think about it. When I was four or five. I'm gonna say I was five, but I still remember. My dad, God rest his soul, him and I, we were at a car wash in on the Central Coast where I grew up, and I still remember. I can picture it very vividly. This brown van pulling up maybe 500 feet away. Hey, Nikki, what's up? Thanks for joining. But I remember this. I remember this brown van pulling up 500 feet-ish away from me, and him going like, "Hey, you know, I've got candy in the van." And of course, as a kid, I'm like, "No, creepy white man, I'm not getting your fucking van," and telling my dad, and he immediately goes into the trunk. Because he played softball at the time, and he ended up grabbing the bat, and the van just pulled the fuck away. And, you know, I'm almost 37 now. Anytime I see a brown van, I don't see them often, but my hand legit like twitches to this day because of that shit. And so when I'm watching what these kids were subjected to, my heart just fucking breaks for them. And it's so frustrating because, look, I know in the Me Too era, you know, I understand that discourse just got, I think that discourse just got muddy. I think there are a lot of people who wanted to tell their stories and actually had stories to tell. And then, of course, you had people who were fucking it up, because all it takes is one person to lie to go ahead and discredit the whole movement. Unfortunately, that's how movements work. And just to see these people who are clearly still so broken and so hurt by what they went through, I just want to give everyone a fucking hug because of this shit. And you can tell these parents too, because look, I mean, you want to support your kid, you know, a lot of these kids, I remember, I'm blanking on her name, but she was on All That, and she played Katrina something, but she was on the first couple seasons of All That, and she talked about how Dan Schneider was like, oh yeah, you're my chosen one, like I picked you, like she, you know, Katrina Johnson, thank you. Thank you, Nikki. Appreciate you. But she talked about who I always thought was hilarious. She did a Ross Perot impression that was so goddamn funny. Like, you can actually go back, like, if you want to YouTube that shit, I would recommend it. She, like, her Ross Perot was fucking spot on. It was weird how great it was. Katrina Johnson has grown up to be like a very beautiful woman. She seems happy, like I, you know, but she talked about how, you know, she was very much being told that, hey, you're next, you know, you're going to be that next person to ascend. And then Amanda Bynes shows up and she had a growth spurt like over a summer. And so she no longer looked like a kid, you know, she looked like a, you know, like a young teenager. And yeah, it's crazy how, you know, she puts on a little weight because, you know, you're growing up. Fuck, ask the kids about Stranger Things about that shit, you know, when season 5 come out. But it's crazy how quickly Schneider just moved on. It was like, okay, you're the old toy, like over here. Okay, so I got to get in this part of it. I really don't want to, but I need to. We got to talk about Drake Bell. Okay. So I know Drake Bell had his own shit. I believe he had inappropriate texts with like a minor. I think he got like 2 years probation if memory serves. The fact that his acting coach, sexually assaulted him for like a year at like minimum is what it sounded like. Holy shit. Like, how parents, someone always knows. And his dad, clearly, and I think a lot of people just have that vibe on people as far as like, you know, I've made the joke on the podcast where, you know, I've met people out at bars or whatever, and I've just been like, you're giving me bad vibes, or, you know, like there's something off about you. Like, I can't place it, but I know there's something about you that I don't like. And, you know, hearing Drake's dad talk about that, about how incredibly uncomfortable he was around, Brian Peck, that's his name, talking about how uncomfortable he was around him from jump and how he kept getting more uncomfortable being around him. It's crazy to me, like where that ended up. And I think I think what's really difficult too about this is that you as a kid, you just, and you trust adults, and you're told to trust adults. You're like, I remember growing up, you were constantly told, especially me growing up in church, which I will get to in a fucking second. But you're told, like, you can trust adults. You can trust adults. They have your best interests at heart. But we're sending kids to schools where they're getting shot at and potentially getting killed. We're sending kids to church where they're potentially getting raped. So can you trust adults? The world is saying no, clearly. And Nikki, you bring up a good point. Like, why would you question any of this when you're doing what you love to do the most? And that is something that comes across very clearly from Drake Bell, is that he was doing what he loved. He wanted to entertain. He wanted to, you know, play music. Like, he got a shot that so many people would kill for. You know, he was grateful for that. And so there are people who take advantage of that. And hearing how he woke up to sexually assaulting him, it's like, holy fuck, man. The one thing, so I do think, how do I put this? You sneak in, like, because SpongeBob even does this. SpongeBob, like SpongeBob definitely has, like, adult jokes in it. But I think there's less, like, it's less of a big deal when it's, like, adults voicing characters in a kid's cartoon. When you have actual kids in front of the camera, I think you lose that thread. And I think that's where it gets very gross. Nikki, yeah, go ahead, Nikki. Got Nikki Fables in the chat here. She wants to make a point about Dan Schneider. But while I'm waiting for you to make that point, okay. So Nikki says, I don't know. I think it was good timing or coincidental that Dan knew to call up Drake and ask if he was okay. I was going to make that point, because here's the thing. Did Dan Schneider touch any of these kids or anything like that? I mean, yes, there are some creepy hugs and all that. Unfortunately, can't really put anyone in jail for that. Yeah, so unfortunately, that's how it works. But I remember even being like a teenager and seeing him in that like that hot tub with Amanda Bynes and being like, that's weird. And be like, that's a really weird thing. And why is this a thing? And there's they even played a clip of Dan Schneider talking about how it was like an all that cold open where he was acting like this big shot and like bossing people around, and you go, ooh, that's where, you know, that's where the lines between what is a joke and what is reality really blur. As my dad used to say, in most jokes there's a little bit of truth to them. And I think there was, yeah, that, yeah, they called him a god. They actually called him a god. Like, it's so weird how It's Always Sunny has I think it's what, season 7 or season 8, they have that Frank's Little Beauties episode, which is all about you know, having, you know, 8, 9, 10-year-olds participating in beauty pageants, and how even the gang, as fucked up as all those characters are, recognize how problematic having beauty pageants for children are. So while this whole thing is absolutely terrible, and it absolutely is, do not misunderstand me when I say that, but there's still kids beauty pageants. That's still a thing. Churches are flat out, like, if you do something bad at church, they just transfer your ass. Like, let's call it what it is. I went to a church in California. I actually can't think of the name of the church, or I would call them out. But there was a church that I went to where the music leader had a daughter who was like 16. Was driving her best friend home, and had sex with her best friend, 16 years old. This guy was like fucking in his 40s. And he stepped down. No consequences whatsoever. That was it. His consequence was stepping down from doing worship for a church. But apparently he never got any jail time. Parents apparently didn't bring it up. And it's just like, wow. And you wonder why shit doesn't fucking change. And at some point, it's like, what do you want kids to do? Like, I love how Republicans, I love how the whole abortion thing is such a, we have to protect kids. We have to make sure that kids are set up for success. We have to protect them. And then as soon as a kid is no longer, you know, an infant, it's like, oh, fuck it. You know, you're on your own. How do you expect kids to navigate this fucking world? Okay. So what can be done? And I'm going to get back to the documentary in a second, but what can be done? You have to have a couple people on set who are independent from the production and from the production studio. You have to have that. I know that that's kind of a thing now, but that needs to be like a concrete thing in every fucking production. I don't care if it's fucking Percy Jackson. I don't care if it's fucking Miss Marvel. I don't care what it is. You have to have it. It has to be a hard fucking line that you draw to go ahead and keep kids safe. That's number one. Number two, like I was saying earlier of WWE, if there's anyone in that building, because he can depend on you to do the right thing. Same thing I was saying with WWE. If there's anyone who knew about what Vince McMahon allegedly did to these women, they need to be kicked the fuck out of the building and they need to be in jail right there alongside him. Same thing with the people at Paramount and Viacom. If there's anyone who knew about what Schneider's behavior was and they are still there, their asses need to go. They need to be fucking gone. It is not a question of, oh, what about? No, they need to be gone. Fucking gone. And let me be clear too. I've got Marvel posters on my back wall. I love Marvel as a brand. I understand that Disney, and it may not happen in my lifetime, but Disney has their own skeletons. Two Black Panther sequels does not negate Song of the South. Okay. I'm very aware that Disney probably has some skeletons that are buried. Let's be real. If they could actually resurrect Walt Disney's frozen head right now and he saw that poster in the background, he'd be like, a Black person starring in a movie, he'd probably kill himself. Like, let's call it what it is. Like, Walt Disney was not the most progressive guy, despite what Saving Mr. Banks will tell your ass. But anyone involved at Nickelodeon who knew about Steiner's behavior has to be gone. They have to be gone today. And I'm going to keep saying it. The girl from Zoe 101, I'm blanking on her name, but she has a podcast. She's on YouTube. She's been talking about these. You know, the episodes and everything. She's done a great job breaking everything down. Thank you. Yeah, Nikki's on it today. Alexa Nicholas. Yeah, she's been on it. And I think she's done a great job talking about everything. Zoe 101's another one that's wild to me, because I was never crazy about Zoe 101. I always thought Jamie Lynn Spears was just very annoying. I never thought she was funny on All That either. Apparently she's a piece of shit, so you know, I was apparently right on that one. but there is that scene that they showed where like Zoe was trying to like bite like a gusher type thing, and it just shoots on her face, and it's like and apparently Alexa said that the crew even said that's a cum shot. And I'm like, you shouldn't be saying the word cum near kids at all, number one. And number two, like, again, how do you write that? Like, so it's actually really weird. It made me think of this is such a random fucking reference. It made me think of the Jonas Brothers 3D concert experience, because there's this one scene in there, and this is a Disney production, so I know some of y'all think I'm cashing them Disney checks, but I'm calling Disney out on this shit right now. There's this weird scene where I think they're in Times Square, and the Jonas Brothers have these, like, hoses. And they pump in these hoses, and the hoses shoot like this white, like it looks like cum. And so it looks like the Jonas Brothers are just cumming all over these like 15-year-old girls. It's in the doc. It's in the concert film somewhere. I don't remember. Like, I don't have a fucking timestamp for it, but I just remember watching the documentary or the concert film, whatever. I remember watching that and going, like you're pushing this purity ring bullshit, which they were clearly not following. And then you have this scene in here, which is ew. Like, it's a very gross scene. Again, like, you can find, like, it's on Disney Plus. Like, I know it's still on there because for some reason it was recommending if I wanted to watch the Jonas Brothers the other day. And I'm like, no, I don't want to watch the fucking Jonas Brothers. But stuff like this has happened for so fucking long. And so it feels like racism and sexism where it's like, you have to start chopping the shit down, but where the fuck do you start? So, you know, like I said, I would start off minimum with getting these people the fuck out. That's the first thing you need. Secondly, you need more diversity in your boards across the board. You need more women in positions of power. You need more people of color in positions of power. You need more people who are members of the LGBTQ community in power. You need to actually not have it just be cis straight white men across the board. You need to have a diversity. Diversity shouldn't just be a newsletter. You should actually have multiple types of people to go ahead and help facilitate change. That's how change happens. So that's one of the, that's another thing. Third and most importantly, if I'm a parent, I'm on set every day. Like, you have to allow these parents to be on set and actually be able to talk to your kids and be like, are you comfortable doing this? Are you uncomfortable doing this? Nikki put in the chat, Dan is making excuses that he made Kenan and Kel famous so he isn't racist. Yeah, that's like the, I have one gay friend, so I can never, yeah, it's fuck off. I fucking hate that logic. It's so straw hat. I fucking hate that so much. Yeah, it's like that would be like saying, well, like, my mom gave birth to me, I couldn't be sexist. Like, it it's like, fuck you. I hate that. So I'm happy you brought Schneider up again, because I want to put a bow on this, because I'm going to be real, y'all. I've talked about this for 40 minutes. That's about 10 minutes longer than I want to talk about this. And I know I didn't talk about everything, but again, there's some graphic details I don't really want to get into. But Dan Schneider did an interview with one of the guys who, the fucker who used to sell smoothies on Zoe 101, like, who was an adult at the time. I can't remember the dude's name, but he did an interview with him, and there's this one part. Yeah, I think it's Tebow. There's this one part of the interview that he did that actually made me go eep. And I mean eep, like, wow, you said that out loud and you thought it sounded good. He brought up this point where Drake Bell's mom asked him for like help writing the court or something like that. And he basically said, like, yeah, she reached out for me and asked for help and was like, you know, Dan, like, I'm just not good with my words like you are. And the moment he said that, I was like, oh, dude, like, this isn't about accountability. This isn't about you wanting to be better. This isn't about you wanting to apologize. Like, you're an asshole. And the thing about Dan Schneider, too, is at the end of the day, okay, this is what it reminds me of. Do you all remember when Chris Brown beat up Rihanna? And then I think he did the AMAs, and he covered Michael Jackson's Man in the Mirror, and he started crying. I put crying very heavily in quotes. And I remember so many women fell for that shit. They're like, but he cried. He didn't mean to hit Rihanna. And I was like, you're fucking dumb. Like, you think this motherfucker wasn't thinking ahead and knew exactly what he was doing? It's all I could think of when I was watching the Dan Schneider interview. I was like, you're not sorry at all. You're sorry you got caught. And what's really unfortunate is there's probably nothing that can be done at this point as far as, like, criminal investigation. Now, I could be wrong. I could be totally wrong. And I hope I'm wrong. Because, look, I mean, it took decades for people to get Harvey Weinstein. It took decades for people to get R. Kelly. It took decades for people to get Bill Cosby. Like, the wheels of justice, unfortunately, when you're rich, move like at a turtle's pace because you can just slow everything down. So Dan Schneider is not a poor man. Unfortunately, he'll probably be fine for the rest of his living days. But what I can pray for at the very least, and I have Jeanette McCurdy's book on my Audible. I haven't listened to it yet. I'm finishing up the Jon Moxley book, which is fucking excellent, by the way, if you're a pro wrestling fan. But I've got about half of that left. But once I'm done with that book, I'm moving on to Jeanette McCurdy's book and then on to Viola Davis's book. So those are my next couple books I'm going to be listening to. But I got to give Jeanette McCurdy all the credit in the world. And I have to give Drake Bell all the credit in the world. And I got to give everyone who's come out and spoken out about this all the credit in the world for sharing their stories. And it's not easy, you know. It's not easy to be vulnerable. It's not easy to admit that you suffered. It's not easy to bare your soul like that. And to all these people who were affected and went through this, and it's very reminiscent to me of like the Hyde shit from that 70s show, where I'm just like, man, like, I love that 70s show. That's one of my favorite shows. That's bordering on, I don't think I can watch this anymore. Because between Ashton Kutcher and Danny Masterson and Laura Prepon and Willem Revolderama apparently all being pieces of shit, it's like, oh, I'm only watching this for Topher Grace then. So and this is the last thing I'll say, because I don't think there's a blanket answer. I know that there are some people who can still read and watch Harry Potter and are like, cool. I know that J.K. Rowling is a bigot. If you haven't listened to the podcast before, I have two whole recordings on why I think J.K. Rowling sucks that are each about a half hour pop. So one that I actually did last week. So feel free to listen to those. I have a partner that, you know, that loves Harry Potter, that connected with a lot of her LGBTQ friends because of Harry Potter. So she has those memories of her friends. So those are the memories that are associated with her, not the creator. I understand that. I understand that ethical consumption of something is maybe the most complicated conversation you can have in the fucking world. Because I'll still be able to watch SpongeBob, because SpongeBob's a great show to watch high, number one. But number two, I just have a lot of fun memories of SpongeBob. So I can still watch SpongeBob. I'll be real, though. I never had these attachments to Zoe 101 or you know, Sam and Cat or anything like that. I will say I watched the iCarly reboot and I really enjoyed it. And now it's like, man, I don't know if I'm gonna be able to go back and watch that. And the fact that Jeanette McCurdy didn't come back from that, I think that should have been a real big sign for people as far as like, there's something going on. But with that said, I'm not even going to rate this. I can't rate this. You know, I do believe it's something everyone should watch. And if this documentary has done anything, it's going to go ahead and continue a conversation that we need to continue having. But what I would tell people, and I know a lot of people aren't going to want to hear this, but it's me and I don't give a shit. If you really care about kids, it can't just stop with, you know, the Hollywood elites. It needs to start with reproduction rights. It needs to start with gun control laws so that your kids can actually go to school and not get shot. It needs to start with you know, churches being safe. It needs to start with like places like the Boys and Girls Club being safe. It needs to start with better background checks for people that we're going to have around kids. Like, all of these things all tie together and will make for a better world and a safer world for these kids, which is the lie that we're telling them, that the world is safe and that adults care about them. So let's start actually making this world a better place for children. Yeah, that's all I got. I don't want to talk about this anymore. So with that said, to everyone who joined, thank you. I appreciate y'all in the chat for sticking with me. Nikki Fables, I don't know if you have a Twitch channel, but I'm gonna check. I'll definitely subscribe to you. Oh yeah, before I get out of here, in some lighter news, I'm gonna be back on Twitch Saturday because I'm gonna be talking. I was gonna do it last night, but I fell behind on time and stuff. But I'm gonna start doing my AEW Dynamite reviews weekly. I'm gonna do one on Saturday morning. I'll let y'all know when. All right, Nikki, I'm gonna subscribe to you, homie. I really appreciate you joining, but I'm gonna go ahead and do an AEW stream on Saturday. I'm still training at my new job, so I don't know when I'm gonna be hopping back onto Twitch regularly, but I am gonna be doing at least a stream a week moving forward. I'll upload my schedule here this weekend. As far as what's coming up next, I'm going to have a review for the new Roadhouse movie with Jake Gyllenhaal and Conor McGregor. I'll have a review up for that on the channel. I'll review up for that. I'm going to have a review up for Damsel, the new Millie Bobby Brown movie. I'll have a review up for that. Going to have a review up for The Beekeeper, the new Jason Statham movie. I'm going to try to sneak off to the theater and watch Love Lies Bleeding because that movie just looks fucking fantastic. In a couple weeks, since it's actually, I guess it would be a week from this next Thursday, 2 weeks from today, I'll review up for Monkey Man because I am going to sneak out to the theater and see that shit because Monkey Man looks awesome. I fucking love Dev Patel. But yeah, y'all got some stuff come down the pipeline for y'all, and I am going to start streaming games. I haven't figured out what I want to stream first because I'm kind of through a lot of stuff I'm playing right now. So I might start with South Park Snow Day. I haven't decided, but I'm going to start streaming games here soon. But I will, I'll keep y'all in the loop on when that happens. But everyone, thank you so much for listening. Thank you for the engagement. I know these are not easy conversations to have, but I'm really grateful for y'all for joining. And, all that jazz. But everyone, please stay safe out there. Take care of each other. Give someone a hug. Like, I think we could all use more hugs right now. I could definitely use a hug because I just, man, this documentary kind of broke my ass. So I'm going to be watching nicer, lighter things for the next week or so. But everyone, thank you for listening. Again, thank you so much for your support. I will talk to you all on Saturday, and never forget, be real.